Time to change. Time to change. Time to change. If you notice this morning on our title for our sermon, Time to Change, there's no punctuation at the end of the sentence. Because very often when life is happening, when we have a question mark to it, like time to change, like I'm really supposed to be changing, so we ask the question, is this really time for me to change? Or sometimes it is just time for change. We changed our clock last week, right? And so consequently, that had a period with it. It didn't have any punctuation. And then there's other places in our lives where we really know that it's time to change, right? With an exclamation point. Am I right? So very often, as we, all of us together, we're on different parts of our spiritual journey, depending where we are, depending on what's happening in our life. And many of us are waiting for change, are we not? So sometimes we say to God, time to change some things, right? So that's what we use prayer for. We need and ask for, and we seek God's help in helping others to change, because we can't change anybody, can we? We can't change people, places, or things, can we? We can move from one place to another, but very often things don't always change, do they? But it is a time for change, is it not? All the time? And change is good, is it not? Very good. So we're going to do some changing of some of our minds today, okay? Good with that? Because that's where change really begins. It begins when we have a message from God, or we feel something inside of ourselves, or we find a place in our life where enough is enough is enough, and we really seek God for change. And the good news is, sometimes God is calling us to change as well, right? And so we have the free will to say, nope, I don't feel like changing that. Or we acquiesce and say, okay, I will. So there's where some of us are all the time. Am I right? Of course, I always am. So needless to say, oh, did I say that out loud? I guess I did. Oopsie do. Because it's in the Word of God. So sorry. I have to use God as the truth here. And let's go to Matthew chapter 21. It's really a couple of short verses here. And maybe sometimes some way in your life that if God has called you to change something in your life, or you've wanted to change something and you haven't followed through on it. Anybody ever done that where you made some maybe New Year's resolutions every single year for the last 30 some odd years or whatever it might be? And about January 20th or so, you're back to what you didn't change in the first. No, anybody ever have those problems ever? Okay, a few. So we have a few admissions here. So needless to say, as life goes on all the time, God is calling us to change and move and grow, because otherwise we stagnate, right? So the reason for change, spiritually speaking, is so that we can move to a higher spiritual plane and to change our who we are, and our circumstances around us very often change when who changes? We do. So the good thing about God is this. He gives you all kinds of opportunities to change, even when you didn't change before. So today you can make some changes. Aren't you glad about that? And if you do it with your mind and your heart and your true devotion to God's, and the fact that you keep that promise and you ask God to help change you, you can change, right? Absolutely beautiful. All right, so Matthew chapter 21. Jesus says, a man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later, he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two was obeying his father? The first one, right? He said, I'm not going to go, but what happened? He changed his mind and he went. Anybody here ever have one of those times where God has called you to do something or asked you to do something, or you feel it in your heart that you should do something, and then you think, well, I'm not really going to do that? You know, for whatever reason, right? Or maybe God wants you to help a certain person, and maybe they're not exactly in your typical, this is a person I want to help kind of a thing. And so you go, oh, I don't really want to. And then suddenly inside of you, something changes, right? And you think, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to forgive them anyway. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to serve them anyway. I'm going to change my mind and do it anyway. So what we see here in these scriptures this morning is the second son who said, I will and didn't. That's not the son that Jesus is calling us to be, is it? Or daughter. He's calling us to be the type of people that change our minds. So here's the good news with that. If you've never obeyed God before and followed God's direction or calling or whatever it is, how you perceive that God wants to use you for, because we're all here for our own specific gifts and talents to be used by God and to serve God, correct? And to serve others. All of us have that calling. Many times you get a tap on the shoulder for some small, it doesn't have to be magnanimous, some big, huge thing that God's asking you to do. It could be something as simple as picking up litter on the side of the road that you see and you want to beautify God's place, right? Or to reach out and call someone or touch someone or feed someone or whatever, or donate some of your time, energy, talents, whatever it might be. You get tapped on the shoulder very often. And then you have to do what? Change your mind sometimes, right? Because when that tapping happens, it may not be exactly the best opportunity for you or best, you know, your best, what you had planned for the day, let's say, right? God isn't interrupting God sometimes, correct? What you have planned for your day, what you think you're going to do, what we're going to do here at church, whatever the case might be. So very often God interrupts that, right? And then initially we think, oh no, I got to go do X. That's what I'm here to do. But God wants Y done. And so we change our mind, don't we? Don't we? Yes, we do. Some of you that wanted to sleep in this morning because it's, you know, it's an hour change is like messing with all of our heads, right? And it's like, oh, if I could just get my hour back that I, you know, I just want to sleep in a little more. But you change your mind because you're here, aren't you? And you're watching, aren't you, right? See how it's so typical for each and every one of us that we have desires that we want to do, and when God wants us to do something greater, we change our mind and do it. And that's how we sometimes obey God. It's not always that we obey God first time, every time. True? But as long as you do second, third, or fourth time, and eventually change your mind and do it anyway, that's what Jesus is talking about here. The fact that we can change our mind and God's okay with that. Meaning, even if you said no, but you said yes later, he doesn't hold no against you. Good to know, isn't it? Awesome, awesome. So let's turn to the book of Joshua this morning. You'll kind of see where this ties together, because I personally believe that it takes more than just changing our mind and saying we're going to do something. It actually physically takes action, but it also takes something even greater than that, which we're going to see out of the book of Joshua. So in Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking and says to Joshua, "Now my servant Moses is dead, and you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I am giving you. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev Desert in the south to Lebanon Mountains in the west, and all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will never leave you, fail you, or abandon you." So Joshua is going to do what? Change where he is, right? He's going to take the whole Israelite people from one place to another. Big change is coming, isn't it? Right? Moses didn't do it. It's up to Joshua now to do it. And God explains to him, I'm going to be with you. Nothing will ever come against you. Nothing that you are faced with will destroy you. Nothing can stand against you. I'll be with you all along the way. So how is Joshua going to be able to accomplish this change? With God. Because God is going with him. Do you believe that God is walking with you every step of the journey of your life? Yes. And when you believe that and know that, is anything stoppable to you? Is there any obstacle over which you cannot overcome? Is there anything in you that cannot be changed? Right? So see what it takes. Belief in God and knowing that God is the one that's going to be with you to help you. And he'll never leave you of your own, on your own, to try to fend for yourself and do it all yourself. God is with you. Do you remember that God is with you always? No. Sometimes. Except for when you're going through something and you forget. Do we not? Are we not Christians that sometimes get amnesia? The wrong kind of amnesia. I would like you to forget your failures and your faults and your flaws. So you can have that kind of good amnesia and forgive everybody. That's good amnesia, to forget what people have done to hurt you. Bad amnesia is to forget that God is with you. So there's two kinds of amnesia. Let's have the good kind, right? Forgetting that you can't and remembering that God is with you. So that's called remembering as opposed to amnesia. So we're going to have remembering, right? Beautiful. All right, excellent. Here's what God says in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Listen, he says, be strong and courageous, because I'm giving you something big and awesome. Be strong and courageous. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. He adds a little bit of an adjective there, right? Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. The laws of Moses, right? The Ten Commandments, all the things that Moses laid down, the Word of God that we have today. What is God telling Joshua in order for him to be successful in everything he will do is to do what? Obey all the laws and all obey what God is, all the truth of what's in the Word of God, right? And then he says, study the book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. So how often do we read our Bible? Once a week on a Sunday when I read it to you sometimes. Oh, no. You read it every day, right? Can you imagine having to meditate on it day and night? The whole entire book of God? Or maybe you could take one scripture and meditate on it, right? Think about it. Meditating is thinking about it, right? God is with me. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. There's one example. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's another one you can meditate on all day long, right? There's zillions of things in here that you can meditate on all day and night, right? Why? Because we're in this world, are we not? And are not things going to be coming against us sometimes, right? Problems are going to come. Anybody here ever had a problem? I know most of you don't, but you probably forgot about them because you have amnesia about those things. But needless to say, you know that problems may very well come your way. And how do we face those problems? With God. And by meditating on the Word of God, God's promises that are written in this book are true then and true now and will be true when? In the future and forever. The Word of God stands forever. Right. So meditate on that. How many of you think about all kinds of things all day long? Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, okay. Some of you don't think at all, and that's okay with me. As long as you're not thinking about the bad stuff, right, the negative things. But if you think about things that are of God, right, that are powerful and empowering and uplifting and the things that God, the God's promises that are written in this book, what if you thought about those at least one a day? That'd be like a cool one-a-day vitamin, wouldn't it? Meditate on that. So that's what God is telling Joshua. Why is God telling Joshua this? He's saying, be strong and courageous. And he's also saying, study the word. Why? Because he's going somewhere where? What kind of place is he going? Something fantastic. Some spiritual growth is going to happen, maybe even later. And maybe he's going to face some battles along the way. Jericho comes to mind. Them things are going to come against Joshua. Some people are going to try to stop him, right? But what does God's promises always happen? They do. Whatever God says, does. But yet, we're going to have some obstacles along the way. So that's why God is telling Joshua, study the word. Okay. I command you, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's a little on the repetitive side this morning, isn't he? In this. How many times has God told Joshua to be strong and courageous? 3 times. Has to repeat himself. And you notice, first it's be strong and courageous, then it's be very strong and courageous, and then it's be strong and courageous, exclamation point. What do I think it takes for us to change? Courage. It takes courage and it takes strength and stamina. Strength is something that, oddly enough, from courage comes strength, does it not? Because courage is the ability to do something that frightens or scares you. That's what courage is. It's not the absence of fear whatsoever. It's the presence of fear, but you do it anyway. And it takes what? Courage. The cowardly lion, the poor thing in The Wizard of Oz, needed courage more than anything, right? It's having the strength that you need in the face of pain or grief. That's what courage is as well. To face those things in your life that cause you to be afraid or may cause you some grief. But it's also the power that you have of being able to deal with things when you face those fears or pain or danger. And then you're confident to act. So back to the story of the son that went out later. It took him courage to go out and do the thing that God had called him to do. It might have been, it was just a simple thing, right? Just go out and pick some weed off the land. But it took the ability of whatever he was facing that was going to try to stop him from doing that thing, it took the courage for him to act upon it. So how does that apply to you and me? Well, I believe that all the time that we're getting tapped on the shoulder by God to do something and to take some kind of action that's going to cause us change. And very often people associate change with pain, correct? Correct? So guess what? It's going to take what in order for you to overcome that pain? Courage. And to do it anyway. Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. When faced with your fears, that's the time to be strong and courageous and do it anyway. Do it in the face of what thing that is trying to block you from going and becoming the person God wants you to be and do. It takes courage for that, though, doesn't it? It's okay to have fear. Most of us fear change sometimes, right? What's the unknown? Because that's what's out there, the unknown. Do you need to know everything before you act and do something? No. Because why? Because we trust God. Because if God says to do it and it's put upon your heart and you're tapped on your shoulder to do something, you do it because you know God has called you to do that thing. So we have to rise above our fears, right? Because sometimes we're afraid of failing. Am I right? I might do it wrong. Okay. And what would happen then? Nothing. Nothing. You might feel bad. You might feel inadequate. You might feel, oh, I'm not perfect after all. Were you perfect before all? And you're not perfect after all either. You're not perfect any all or at all, correct? And it's okay not to be perfect, isn't it? Why do we accomplish the things that we accomplish? And how do we do that? With God. With God. If you know that God will never leave you or abandon you, and God is calling you to do something, he's going to give you the equipment and equipness. I'm not making up a word. I don't know what it is. But you're going to be equipped. You're going to be equipped to do that thing. And some of us need to change our mind about not doing anything. Because, see, some of us just sit on our procrastination. And we're so paralyzed by fear, the fear of being wrong, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of not doing it right, the fear of, whatever it might be. We stay, that's what procrastination is. So we do what? Nothing. Although procrastination is an action, is it not? It's sitting still. But your mind is going, I should go do that. I better go do that. I want to go do that. Somebody asked me to do that. I really should. God wants me to. I think I should. You're actually in your own mind doing something but not doing anything. Because fear is what's holding you, correct? And what is fear? An illusion. To me, it's like a real thin piece of crepe paper that's in front of you. And there it is, and you're looking at it, and it's the word fear. And you look at it, and you look at it, and you think, oh, no, it's fear coming at me again. But if you really knew that it was only thin as crepe paper, could you go through the fear? Is it made of a wall? No, it's an illusion in your own mind, is it not? That's why God had to speak to Joshua, because Joshua was going to take over and lead the people somewhere they had never been before, right? They were going to change big time, weren't they? But the fear of changing could have very well held them all back, couldn't it? As it did the people that were following Moses 40 years prior. They didn't get there, did they? Because the wall of fear, that crepe paper of fear, was in front of them. I believe that's why God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And do what? Go! Just go do it. Just grab the people and say, let's go. One small act on your part, one time that you change your mind and say, okay, all right, today's the day. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm really going to turn over and give God everything and surrender it all to him. This is the day I'm going to do it. But not, maybe not today. I can always do it next week. You change your mind, though, right? You change your mind right now? You change your mind later? When are you going to change your mind? Someday. Someday I'll change my mind. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's no someday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No someday. So when are you gonna change? Now, right here, right now. What do you need to change your mind about? That's for you. Just take that question. What is it you need to change in terms of your way of thinking? How are you going to do that? Be strong and courageous and do it. Rise above the fear of what bad would happen if I change. That's not a question that needs to get asked. Because what good could happen? What best thing could happen? We are called to bravery over limitations. We Christians who have God in us, we're brave and courageous, are we not? And the things that some other people fear, we don't have to fear them. In fact, we don't even have to fear death, do we? Not a bit. So if you don't have to fear death, which is possibly the worst thing that could happen to somebody, although we know there's an after that, right? Then what else could there be that we would stop us from being the people we were called to be? The actions we need to take. The changes in our life, the way we treat one another and do things for one another. The interesting thing about everything in Scripture, as Jesus called and spoke about that son that went out to do, it was to go help somebody else, was it not? It was to go harvest wheat, was it not? You notice that when God called Joshua, it was to take all the people into the promised land, right? It was for the benefit of others. See, sometimes when you change, other people get blessed by that. Wouldn't it be great if I could change how long the sermons were? And see, it could benefit others, correct? See, a little simple thing like that, if I change my mind about that, what a difference it could make, right? And so, a little too loud on the yes over there. Okay. You see how one change, one small change, one big change can benefit others, right? That's why change is necessary in all of our lives. When we change, all the things around us can change as well, can't they? And every time you change your mind about telling people where to go or being upset with somebody who really deserves you to be upset, or you're too tired and too worn out to help another person, or you just can't seem to want to forgive somebody else, if you change your mind about that for the benefit of somebody else, do Do you see that that would be you going into the promised land and bringing other people with you? Do you see the connection now? How important it is to change our mind and our attitude towards others, right? Here's the cool thing. You're going to get opportunities to change. I can promise you that. Be strong and courageous and do it. Be very strong and courageous and do it. Be strong and courageous, exclamation point, because it's time to change your life, our life, and the life of other people for the better, is it not? Ready to change? Willing to change? Time to change? When? Now. Amen.